Yes, my name is Ahis Anthony. Welcome to the Footy With Podcast EPL Weekly Review. It's a full house today. A very, very full house. This is the best time, you know, to bring all the boys to the yard, you know. There's a certain team on the red side of Manchester that things ain't good for them right now. But to kickstart, we just do the normal introduction. But before I go into the introduction, like I said, we're reviewing week 11. A lot of games went down. Apparently, there were just two away wins this week. Manchester City won away. We all know that's obvious. The one at Old Trafford against Manchester United. But first and foremost, Chelsea dropped points at the Bridge against Burnley, but still leading the pack with 3 points difference from second place. Man City shows total dominance in the Manchester United derby over Manchester United. West Ham handover first defeat of the season to Liverpool, climbing into the top place. Are West Ham United title contenders for 2021-2022 season? Who knows? Arsenal quietly climbed into the fifth position with a win over Watford, racking 20 points out of a possible 24 points. They've been on a roll. Conte earned a point with Spurs at Goodison Park on his second debut to the EPL. Yeah, fight. They tried, picked the point. Norwich and Aston Villa sacked their managers. And new money Newcastle appoints Eddie Howe as the new manager. But like I said earlier before, I have a full house. Within Nigeria and outside Nigeria. But first, let me start from home. Chimamaka, what's up? How you doing?
I'm very good. It's good to be here again, and like, nice to see my guys around. Everybody's buzzing to go.
It's good and to also, be here, guys. Yeah, and also from the US of A, Babatunde Idemo. You know, it's good for him to come back today. It's good for us, you know, it's good to welcome our son back home after so many defeats. It's good to just, you know, check on his mental state. And that's what we're doing here on Footy With Podcast. What's up, Tunde?
I'm good, though, but thank God. My heart is still in my chest. We have cried. We have shed some blood. We have done everything, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back. Thank you guys for having me.
You're sounding so down, right?
Yeah, you know, we care. We do care on Footy With Podcast. And also making his debut on the podcast today from United Kingdom is Bayo Opaleye. What's up, Bayo? How you doing?
I'm all right. It's good to be here. Nice to see you guys. And I'm sure this is going to be a good one. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Bayo is a Manchester United fan, for the records. He's a Manchester United fan. But quickly, let's dig in. A lot of talking points. We're just reviewing the games that went down on match day 11. Like we all know, Chelsea is sitting at the top of the table despite dropping points against Chelsea. We all thought they were going to take Chelsea to the cleaners. In our EPL prediction on the Footy With Podcast WhatsApp group, a lot of people predicted Chelsea was going to win that match. And it's a pity my ticket just bust like that. And West Ham, Liverpool, impressive from West Ham. I saw stats today. West Ham have defeated Manchester United, Manchester City, Leicester City. Defeated the big boys in the EPL this season in all competition, including the Carabao Cup. And the question that comes to mind is West Ham United title contenders? Are they going to contend for the title this season? But I just want us to start with Manchester United. It is very, very appalling for Manchester United. I was reading through Opta stats today, and I came across this, you know, stats after the derby match against Manchester City. Manchester United registered more shots on target against themselves too than they did at Manchester City's goal. Manchester United managed just 4 touches in the opposition box. That's their lowest tally in any game since Opta started recording the statistics in 2008, and Manchester City completed 753 passes, the most any team has completed in a Premier League match against the Red Devils since Opta started recording pass stats in 2004. Wait for this. Manchester City back four completed 331 passes. United back five plus substitute Alex Telles completed 169 passes. Let me hold on there. Tunde, what's your take? Manchester United, your dear beloved team.
It's the same thing I've been saying from the beginning. It's the same thing I've been saying since over a year ago when we noticed that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't have the tactical capacity. You know, so it's we're having to go through this whole conundrum, but it's something that we've all seen for a while back. There's no backup to what he's bringing to the table. There is no alternative route. There's nothing else. It's just what he wants to do, which is counterattack. And in a position, in a situation where no one allows you to counterattack them, what then do you bring? And you find situations like this where people keep away, teams that are good enough keep away the ball from you. If you don't get the ball, how do you play? If you don't get the ball, what is your tactics to get the ball back? What is your game plan to get the ball back? And it doesn't seem like Manchester United has that. As long as a person with his tactical inept continues to hold that position, we'll continue recording history and continue recording records like this of how terrible a team is at Old Trafford.
You know, Bio, what you say? Because I know you're a Manchester United fan.
All right. So for me, I mean, it's been from the first year. I mean, it was clear that Ole was going nowhere. You know, you'd sit down and you would just prepare for a match, and then you know that, I mean, this guy's got nothing else. I mean, you can literally, write down the list of the players he's going to play, and then the subs he's going to make even without the match starting. I mean, it's clear. I mean, a manager shows something at you, and then you cannot even come back with some form of counter tactics or something. You know, the players are, you know, so demotivated. You know, he gets all the money he wants to get, all the playing, and then it's just horrible. You know, you just know that this guy's not got the tactical sense, let me use that word, to just lead that team. I mean, so it's horrible. It's just horrible, actually, right now.
Hold that thought there, Barry. I'm going to come back to you. Chimamaka, I know you had your rant last week on the episode, on the podcast, where a lot of people love the rant you had. Most people were asking if you were a Manchester United fan. I'm like, no, that guy is a Chelsea fan. If you follow us on Footwit Podcast, you know Chimamaka is a core Chelsea fan. Chimamaka, what's your take, in few words, on Manchester United, approach to the match against Manchester City at home on Saturday, bearing in mind two straight matches at the Theatre of Dreams? Manchester United have been defeated 7-0 by Liverpool and Manchester City.
Well, if you look at that game, sincerely, there was no approach to the game. He might have had an approach to that game, but in the 15th minute of that game, you knew that everything he brought to the table would have been swept off the table. Because at the start of the game till the 98th minute, he realized United team that was just running around the pitch without an idea of what to do. They were outplayed on every front. They were outplayed from stats. In fact, the stats that you just read out is shouldn't be heard of in a Manchester United that we all know. And not just a Manchester United team, it was a derby, for crying out loud. under Alex Ferguson, we knew the blue side of Manchester as the noisy neighbors. But as it is, who are the noisy neighbors this time? The table has turned. Now, we are not getting this thing. If I'm going to blame anybody, or if I'm going to apportion blames to people, it's just one person, and it's their manager. You realize that this guy, tactically, he has lost it. I don't know if he was actually tactically sound in the first place to take the job. I don't know.
Never had it.
But if you look at that game, please, it is that game is more like an El Clasico that we expect to happen in England. Let's just leave aside Liverpool and
yes, Manchester United. When you're comparing Brexit, derbies that was, in all European leagues,
you should expect something good. You should expect something good from there.
Yeah.
But what we saw, that was total shambles from every player that put on a red shirt. I have so much to say, but I'll leave it to the Manchester United guys to talk.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, like I said, I told Bayo to hold, I told him to hold his thoughts there, that I was coming back to what he said. And also, you alluded to the fact that Ole is not technically gifted or doesn't have what it takes to lead Manchester United to the glory days. Tunde and Bayo, I'm going to lead you guys back to last season. I mentioned this last week on the pod, where Manchester United had a good run towards the end of the season. Perfect. They got into the Europa final. Fine, you lost on penalty shootout. We saw what Ole did. Got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Got to the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. Lost. But we could see, all footballing fans could see, even if you're not a Manchester United fan, you could see that there's a bit of progression in here. And this season, the summer transfer, you bring in Sancho, you bring in Varane, and you bring in the elephant in the room, Cristiano Ronaldo. And we all could see, stats don't lie. We see what Manchester United, in terms of tactics, we know what is obtainable in football. The press must start from the beginning. The press must start from the attacker, from the front man. And Ronaldo don't have the legs. Ole, to be fair on him, benched Ronaldo against Everton, and we all knew what happened. He was warned. He was cautioned, kinda, to say, hey, you dare not start or you dare not bench Ronaldo. Is this a case of Ole or Ronaldo's? I'm trying to be careful with my words here. Is this a case of Ronaldo's presence creating an imbalance in that team? Because Ronaldo definitely will have to start. So is there a kind of like imbalance into the team as compared to what Ole was building last season? We all could see the progression in it. Tunde?
Last season, you talk about progression last season, which at some point, everything would avenge on them for however long the next phase of that plan is. And that's what I think Ole had going for him towards the end of last season. He had built the momentum on the back of Hernandez, as we all knew. We knew that Thiago Hernandez, at any point from any game, I mean, he was playing Bruno Fernandes in every game, and any game that Bruno Fernandes didn't play towards the end of last season, the team basically lacked a structure.
Yeah.
The progression that we're talking about was just on the fact of the personality of the person of Bruno Fernandes, what he was doing, how he was getting those players to play with him. As great as that sounded, as great as that looked, we saw against Villarreal in the final of the Europa Cup. Once Villarreal lined up a midfield that overpowered Bruno Fernandes, our team could not do anything from first half. We all said it last season. From first, we all knew what Emery was trying to do. From first half, how did Ole not see it? How did Ole not see that Emery was going to compact that midfield to outnumber Bruno Fernandes, that the team couldn't do anything? We all saw that. How Ole couldn't see that, we don't know. that definitely lets everyone know that the team needs more firepower, the team needs more resources, the team needs to be more dynamic than Bruno Fernandes. The addition of Sancho, the addition of Ronaldo, I mean, it doesn't get any more dynamic than that. You know, we know that we still have a Rashford who was going to come back from injury at some point this season. We had Cavani who was going to at select times. We had those young kids, Traore and Greenwood, who are coming into the team. So those are people that's a dynamic that you have at your disposal that you can use however you want to use. The decision to play Ronaldo every game lies solely on the manager. The manager has to make that decision. We're talking about a few years ago when Ronaldo was in Real Madrid under Zidane. Zidane wasn't using Ronaldo every game.
Mm-hmm.
Zidane wasn't starting Ronaldo every game. So if a manager is playing Ronaldo, saying that, oh, Ronaldo has to play, it is the manager's decision to come up with a tactics that can keep Ronaldo out from a few games. It is a manager's job to put Ronaldo in a position where we need you for Manchester Derby. I'm not going to play you against Atalanta. We need you for Liverpool. I'm not going to play you against Villarreal. We need
the powers that be want him to start Ronaldo in every match.
Well, maybe the powers that be should be the manager in the team. Maybe Ole should not be the manager in the team. Let's get those powers that be. Maybe they have something else they can add. But as we have seen so far, I cannot blame Ronaldo. Because you say Ronaldo's legs
When you look at tactics, most teams in the EPL, they start resisting the high press where the attackers will need to start pressing from the front.
Ronaldo does that. Bruno Fernandes does that. You know, Greenwood, every once in a while, we see him do that. And we know that these guys drop all the way to the back also to help the fullbacks. So if you have your most forward players, trash don't have the same support. They don't have the same. They don't have a structure behind them to help progress the attack. They don't have creative dynamism from anywhere. We are just looking, hoping, and waiting for Bruno to send the ball at one point to Ronaldo. But how is that tactics in football? How does that not look like a person's decision? You know, it has to come down to tactics. Manchester City played with a number 9 in the face of Bernardo Silva.
It was a false nine against
Manchester United.
Yeah,
it don't matter. It don't matter. You see what you said? A false nine. Somebody came up with that tactics and it worked. Against a team that has an £80 million defender, against a team that paid almost £50 million for their right back, and another £70+ million or so for the left back. A team that had a false nine in Bernardo Silva was able to, I mean, come on now, it's not rocket science. At some point, we all have to point to the person who is at fault in all of this. We all have to point to that person.
So let me switch to Bayer. Let me just switch to Bayer straight up. So, you know, we all saw what happened, or we are all seeing what is happening at West Ham. David Moyes was once a manager of Manchester United. He wasn't given the time. I don't know how many, I don't even, my staff serves me right. I can't remember how long he spent, but it was sacked as the Manchester United manager. Now he got to West Ham. We see the progression with West Ham. I mentioned in my intro of this pod of what David Moyes has done with West Ham United. So if, like you all are claiming, that Ole is the fault here because it's not tactically sound. So if or when Manchester United sack Ole, who is the right person for the job? Because Conte has signed up with Spurs. Zidane has made it known that he is not coming to get this job. Same, Arsenal had this issue where most of the fans, 95% of the fans, were calling out for Arteta out. But we see what is happening currently in Arsenal. Going 20 points out of 8 games. It's not an easy feat. So, Bayo, what's the way forward? If Ole gets sacked, what's the way forward?
I mean, we shouldn't even be talking about if Ole gets sacked. I mean, we should be talking about when he gets sacked. That guy has to get out of there. I mean, it's clear that he does not know what to do there anymore. And, you know, I just think about it and I'm like, I think there's just one fear somewhere. Or he's being backed up by some kind of
It looks like that, though.
Yes, I mean, so it's really annoying, you know, and then you just see stuff like that and then you just wonder, like, when Ole gets sacked, I mean, the board, they really have to sit down and then really think about it and say, oh, yeah, we see, Manchester United fans want the glory days. I mean, we don't want all this. I mean, sometimes, I mean, it's interesting to watch your team lose. I mean, I can remember in 2005 when Manchester United played Arsenal in the FA Cup final. And Manchester United lost that game on penalty shootout. Scholes missed a penalty. I watched that game and I was pained that Manchester United did not lift the trophy, but I was happy at what Manchester United played.
Total domination. There's a difference.
I mean,
total domination. There's a difference.
When you lose, you are pained at things like that. You are pained at things like that because, oh, we didn't lift the trophy because, I mean, that's the basic thing you want. You want the glory. You want the glory. You want to lift the trophy. But right now, Manchester United, under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they're not playing football. There are no trophies. I mean, it's horrible, yeah, that you get into different finals and then you lose your finals. You get into semifinals and then you lose yourself. I mean, Ole is never going to win any trophy for Manchester United. He's never going to win any trophy. I mean, just take a big look at it. Manchester United crashed out of the Carling Cup, which should probably be the trophy that Ole should go, like, I mean, I should die here. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I mean, because
He tried. He crashed out.
How do you crash out of sort of competition? It is clear that you cannot win the EPL when there is a Liverpool, there is a Chelsea that's firing all.
But this same guy finished
Manchester City.
Manchester United finished above Liverpool last season. Liverpool came fourth.
That was not Ole. It was the players. I mean, I say something typical.
That leads me to the question. Are these players? All right. I asked the same question last week on the pod. Do these players need to turn up to do this thing? Because once you cross the white line, it's left on you, the players, despite whatever the manager tells you. Yes, I'm not saying Ole is not lacking tactically, or I'm not saying he's not bereft of some technicality as a manager. But the players are not turning up. I'm not a Manchester United fan, but this is not the Manchester United I saw last season, finishing second in the EPL.
And the reason is because there is no firepower from the manager. I mean, it's clear. I mean, now take a look at the game against PSG, where Man U later won that game, 3-2 on penalties, the one where Rashford scored that penalty. I mean, that was last season, yes. And you could see that the players knew that they wanted to win the game. Now, typically this season, against Atalanta, Mayu was down. And the players knew that if we get the second goal, that wasn't only tactics. I mean, you know that you want to win a game and then you make some substitutions. When you make like for like, it just means that you're just changing tired legs. But I mean, for instance, I mean, that's where Mourinho sometimes, I mean, when it was really special, he knew what he wanted. He knew it. When I get the goal, I mean, you are not, if we play 1,500 minutes on this pitch, you will not get a goal. So right now, Ole doesn't have that. And the players right now are giving their very best. Now, you see players like Ronaldo has scored over 90% of the goals for Manchester United this season.
Yeah.
And we talk. I hear some people say Ronaldo is destroying the balance of the team, and I'm like, what's all that?
I mean, this guy has literally scored almost all the goals that Manchester United has scored. I mean, last season was Bruno Fernandes. Mm-hmm. So only was leaning on Bruno Fernandes. And this season now, it's more Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes. And, I mean, it's just clear that the players, a few of the players, I mean, are finished. I mean, but the thing is, Ole does not just know what to do with them. He doesn't just know. I mean, a few of them are finished. I mean, they shouldn't be playing for Manchester United. You know, I still in my brain. I mean, I don't know what anybody feels. I still do not still see how Maguire is the captain of Manchester United. I do not know.
But
I do not even know.
I get your sentiments, but because of time, I would want to switch to Chimamaka.
Okay.
Who is the? I just want to read out one more stats from Opta. It said. The stat goes, all 10 of City's outfielders registered more touches than any United player. And listen to this. Chimamaka, listen to this. Cristiano Ronaldo registered just 27 touches. By contrast, City's false nine, Bernardo Silva, registered 86 touches. Chimamaka, you're a Chelsea fan. And you'd see, ever since Chelsea started this season, ever since Tuchel took over, Tuchel has played without a registered nine, even if he played with Timo Werner. Timo Werner was not firing. And he has come in, or this season, we saw Lukaku join in the team. And Lukaku as well, before he got injured, he went on six matches without scoring. But presently, right now, Chelsea has been able to, you know, share the goal-scoring responsibility. And 18 different players have scored for Chelsea in the league this season. So back to you. If Ronaldo seems to be the guy that has saved Manchester United, and this guy wasn't there last season, Manchester United were able to perform very well. Do you think that Manchester United could do without Ronaldo? If Ole has the cojones or has the balls to be able to stand up and say, okay, Ronaldo, you ain't starting. I want to stick to what worked for me last season, and I want to push on from there after the international break.
Well, that's a dicey question, Dubow. I would answer in the best way possible. First, I would like to address the fact that last season, Manchester United coming second in the league wasn't as a result of, I would say, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's efforts. It was as a result of terrible teams who play terrible football.
I'm not going to agree with that. Would you say Leicester City won the league in 2016 because other teams were shitty? Come on, give them credit. You have to give credit to where it's due, man.
When it's due, I will give it. But for now, it's not. Last season, United played football because Liverpool, who are champions, played drawn back football. Chelsea, who are contending for the top four, we are losing and losing as it pleased them. Arsenal, we are nowhere to be found. And they are telling me United, who also was in that situation,
Manchester City that came won second. They were not spectacular.
They were spectacular. They were the only team in England that played football last season. How many points difference between the first and the second position? If United was actually a contender for the title, you will be seeing 2 points, 3 points difference. How many points? About 17 points, 17 or 18 points.
Really?
That's a whole lot.
I have to do a check.
Last season.
I have to do it. No, continue. I'll do a check. Yeah.
That's terrible. I don't know if you get me. I think it's between 12 and 17 points. I think 17 points. Find out if I'm wrong correctly. Okay. But as it is just because other teams behind Manchester City.
Top points, actually.
Uh-huh. So every team behind Manchester City, we are just trying to do what? Catch up. Everybody behind Manchester City, we are playing terrible football. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won the race of the terrible football being played by those teams. So that is the truth. So this season, you are crediting Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because he came second in the race of the terrible, terrible teams. Now this season, he has come and see his reality. You realize that this season he has a Ronaldo who is actually doing more of the goal scoring and actually the same person saving Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from being sacked. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Without a Solskjaer and a Bruno Fernandes in that team, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would have left as at the second match of the season. That's the fact. Because without those two guys, other guys in that team cannot perform. This guy came into the team. Okay, he started the season injured. Rashford started the season injured. Anthony Martial is not a footballer. That guy should be playing either drafts or this new slapping competition somewhere. He's not a footballer.
The only
player who is impressing me up front is the young lad, Mason Greenwood. I don't know if you get me. Now let's take it back to the midfield. You have the likes of Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. You have a Paul Pogba. Sorry, you have an almighty Paul Pogba in the midfield. You have a Fred. You have a Matic. You have Van der Beek in the midfield. You have what's McTominay in the midfield. And you tell me, as a manager with brain in your head, you cannot assemble these guys to play good football. Does Tuchel, what makes Tuchel special is because he had to use Lampard's dead legs to win the Champions League. It, as Tuchel said, it's not rocket science. If Solskjaer knew his onion, or if he knows his onion, he would do something with that team. Every manager, every top manager in the world is looking to manage Manchester United. This guy wasn't given, what's his name? David Moyes wasn't given the chance that Solskjaer had. If David Moyes was given the chance that Solskjaer had, he would perform. I can tell you that for a fact.
You are seeing what he's doing. Because you see what he's doing in West Ham. Yeah, it's obvious.
I don't know if you get me. Even last season, too, he was wonderful last season. But he was not given that chance. Louis van Gaal came in and was given the sack. The only successful manager since Ferguson left has been Jose Mourinho, who won three trophies with them. He was also booted out. Now, Solskjaer is doing his third season, and all you can celebrate is second position or semi-final. We give glory to God, at least he entered the final that he lost. But nobody gives an award to somebody who is a runner-up and is recognized. Who you recognize is the person who won the trophy. So, for me as a Chelsea fan, I would advise Manchester United, if you listen to our podcast, and all you Man U fans in the world, you guys can start up a let's sack Solskjaer. If not,
there's a hashtag already. Hashtag Ole out.
I can tell you categorically, in the next 5 years, if you have Ole there, you won't even qualify to play in Carabao Cup if there's any qualification for Manchester United.
There's things you even need to look at. Who is there any team in the let's even take it? Is there any team in the world that's waiting for Ole to get sacked so that they can hire him? Is there any team?
Yeah, there is one.
Which one?
Ajax FC.
There's this group I'm on, and someone said that, you know, Lampard was championship manager, right? Lampard is the one manager in the Premier League that we can put on Ole's level. Down. Maybe Ole is better. Lampard was sacked.
Mm-hmm.
And Lampard is currently being considered for the worst job in the Premier League, Norwich City.
Exactly.
Can Norwich City consider Ole for their role? It's impossible.
No, but
there's no particular no club on earth that will say, "Oh yeah, we are actually eyeing Ole to come and do what? To come and replicate what? What exactly? To come and do what?"
Because this EPL review, this episode seems to be focused on Manchester United. But yeah, Dai, you want to say something. But let me just drop this before you say what you want to say. The news came out today. Ole is being backed. He's not going to get sacked. He will be the one to prepare the Manchester United team away at Watford on match day 11.
Yeah, I mean, it just tells...
We'll win. It's away. We'll win.
No, I mean, I saw the news and I was not surprised, you know. I mean, it just tells you that the board, no ambitions right now. I mean, they're just like, the guy's a legend, club legend, blah, 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 blackadash, nonsense, talks about, you know, and that's what it is, you know. So, Man U goes to that game and then they'll probably beat Watford 5-1. Ronaldo will score 3 goals, you know, and then they're going to go, Ole is back again. And then Manchester United is going to face maybe like some woes and then lose again.
Oh, no, it's Chelsea after that.
Oh, it's Chelsea. I know. That's sure. I mean, it's sure that Manchester United is going to lose that game. I mean, if Manchester United should win that game, it's probably going to be...
If Anthony Taylor is the ref, Chelsea will lose that game.
No, it might just be like a stroke of luck. You know what I'm talking about. If, when Manchester United wins any game now, you know, you want to watch the game and be sure that they played the game. See, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has, like, you know, like Jim Mack said, he said, I mean, he's got like so many midfielders. Manchester United bought Van der Beek from Ajax, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has succeeded in destroying that guy. Because, I mean, Manchester United bought that guy from... And the guy was firing on all cylinders. I don't understand how it is that guy has gotten so bad and so useless.
I don't understand how Fred is playing ahead of Van der Beek. That makes no logical sense whatsoever. It doesn't even matter what type of football they are trying to play. It makes no sense how Fred is playing ahead of Van der Beek. Unless you can watch... You've not seen Van der Beek in any of his Champions League games that he played for Ajax. Unless you didn't see him at all play. There is no reason on earth why Fred would have played this many games.
Yeah. And Van der Beek does not have a chance.
Yeah, Sunday, I get your point. Bayo, I get your point. But for me, I like to look at things differently. I would stick with what Michael Owen and Paul Scholes said at the post-match press conference after the match that day. I think the fingers should be pointed at the guys recruiting these players, because you're just recruiting, buying, you just have a whole lot of star-studded team, and you now put a manager that does not know how to bring out the best out of these guys. That's just Manchester United's situation at the moment. It's not as if you don't have the players. You have Varane, Sancho, you've not been able to integrate him into the team. Sancho has not played 90 minutes of football this season. So,
I mean,
you know,
it brings it back to the manager. I mean,
No doubt.
So, I mean, they give you the players. Apparently, they don't just buy the players for you. I mean, they would have mentioned it to you. Oh, what you think you need Sancho, you think you need... And then they bring this player in, and you cannot...
3 years.
Three good years.
We got him, and he can't play 90 minutes.
Oh, no, I can't...
3 years, and he can't play 90 minutes.
Whatever it is that Ole is doing to Sancho now is demonic. Because that guy was firing... It was firing. I mean, we saw this guy. So you bring fire from Quest, Van der Beek brings fire from Ajax, and then you turn him to whatever it is, cold water. Now Sancho is not even alive. He probably can't believe that he's playing like that, because
if I was Sancho, what am I doing here, man? If you bought me for that amount of money, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I mean, so it's just all horrible. Yes, I know that the board got their own stuff, and I'm beginning to point a few fingers at Sir Alex Ferguson, because I think he's also backing Ole, which is actually becoming a problem. Because, I mean, Alex Ferguson is a strong goal in Manchester United, whether you like it or not, you want to take that. I mean, if he's still behind Ole, Manchester United is not going to sack that guy. And it just means that there will be no trophies, like Chiamaka said, for the next 5 years. I don't know what to do with my membership form.
We've dedicated close to 30 minutes discussing Manchester United. But it's worth it, because it's newsworthy. It's newsworthy. Everybody is kind of like, you know, not happy. Football, even for banter's sake, I could be, you know, happy and ecstatic, but... For football in itself, we all know Manchester United is one of the biggest club, if possibly the biggest club in England. And seeing them, you know, going down the drain this way in terms of you're watching Manchester United is nothing. Manchester United used to be rivals to Arsenal back then. When Manchester United Arsenal comes up on the fixture list, it's something you want to watch. But it's just a pity where both clubs have found themselves at the moment. But let's just a few minutes to round off this episode, because we've gone like 40 minutes into it already. Do we see West Ham United as contenders? I reeled out the stats. Chimamaka, let me start from you. I reeled out the stats from at the beginning of the episode. We saw who they have taken down already. And I saw a start. I think Opta 2, yeah? West Ham have accumulated 23 points from their 11 Premier League games this season, winning 7, drawing 2, losing 2. Only in 1975 and 76 and 1980 and 1981, both 24, when adjusted to 3 points for a win, have they ever had more at this stage of football in the entire history of West Ham United? Is David Moyes seeming to push West Ham as contenders for the EPL this season? Chimamaka?
Yeah, that's a big yes, because any team at this stage of the season, at after the 11th game of the season, who is sitting around the top six, top eight, actually contenders. You can't rule them out, because now you're talking about the stats at the beginning of the podcast about West Ham. It only tells you that these guys are hungry. They now have a very formidable defense. David Moyes has decided to construct that team according to what he wants it to be, to look like. So they are beating any big team that comes their way. Now, as it stands, there's no big team in West Ham. It's a game everybody wants to watch, actually. Now, it's now on them to start going down the drain, or having, because the problem about such kind of things is injuries can set in. The advantages where the big teams have over them is they have more players on the ground that can fill in those loopholes. But does West Ham have that? I cannot see. But as it stands, West Ham is actually a very strong title contender. They are, as you can see, they are coming from behind. Anything can happen. We saw Leicester City do it to the whole big boys in England. So it is something that can actually still happen. But I pray that they carry on with this run, and they can actually cause an imbalance in the top four, which we all know we don't have a big six any longer. We have more than a big six in England. So I would love them to actually shake the top four this season.
Yeah, Tunde, back to you. You know, Chimamaka mentioned something that, you know, injury setting in. Yesterday in the match against Liverpool, I saw Ogbonna getting injured and Dawson coming in to, you know, fit in the position perfectly. And I saw a stats where Ogbonna has not played any of the Europa League matches. He has always been rested. He has never played any other competition apart from the EPL. He has always been rested for the EPL. So in terms of depth, I think West Ham, I think they have the depth. I think so. But, you know, Tony and Bayo, just to round off this episode, like I said earlier, do you think this is just a flash in the pan for West Ham? They're going to go back to the old type when it gets to December, where there is a flurry of competition. When the FA Cup comes in, they are in the Carabao Cup. They have to play the Europa League. They have to play, you know, December, when the fixture list comes. In 2 weeks, you could play up to 3 games. Do you think it's just a flash in the pan for West Ham? Tony?
I don't want to say it's a flash in the pan, but, you know, it's that thing of, do these players have the experience to deal with these games? How they come as quickly as they come, they have the experience to quickly recover and get back to the fitness that they, you know, that they need to get through each of those games. I don't think they have that experience. I don't think they have the fitness to do that. But again, we need to go through that time to actually see it. Right now, they're in a very good position. They play good. They are entertaining, and they're exciting to watch. So if they should continue like this, if they have the same, you know, given the same momentum, if they keep pushing like this, yes, of course, they are definite title contenders. But my own point, which is still the same that I'm coming back to, is they have the experience to carry them through the tough fixtures and injuries, and I don't think they have that.
Yeah, Bayo.
Okay. So, I mean, for me, I know, I mean, right now they're playing really good football, and then, you know, they're scoring, and then they've got some confidence. But you know, if we say title contenders, maybe I'd say no, actually. Maybe challengers. You know what I'm trying to say? So right now, I know if West Ham finishes somewhere around fifth, it's a good season for them. Trust me. Because, I mean, over time, I mean, when we get to the second half of the season where, you know, you have to play, like, a lot of football, I mean, Antonio is just there. Antonio is there, like, strongest man to like give them goals basically. Right now the goals are drying up for him. I mean, the few games he's not scored some goals, and then you just feel like, yeah, they're playing really good football, but I mean, they can challenge, you know, maybe like cause some upset. You know, the fun thing about some of these teams are they beat the big teams and lose to some
middle or small teams.
You know, so if you can beat the big teams and then keep it up with, because that's what Man City will not do. Man City will beat Norwich Blue Black, and they will beat big teams, and they won't joke with them. Then when it comes to big teams, with them, we can say, okay, yeah, we can. But when it comes to like smaller teams, where's Brom? We'll spell the full name, and then you know, that's what it is. So I think for West Ham, they probably would. They'll be somewhere up, somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're gonna be like in the second, third. You know, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City. Those guys, they're not joking this season.
But you know, last season where they turned the corner was when what's his name? The Manchester United player, the Michael Jackson, the dancer. What's his name again?
Okay,
Jesse Lingard joined them on loan. That, you know, the season just turned. And I see that happening this January, because if Manchester United continue in this form, Lingard not playing, Moyes could call him and say, oh, I want you again, come. And he might go for that loan deal. And possibly we don't know.
Manchester United will not loan Lingard out.
No, they won't.
It's not happening.
No, I'm just saying, it's possible.
I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that Lingard is not going on loan, especially not to West Ham.
I know that he might just not want to go on loan. Like, he might just be really tired of sitting on the bench, and the only thing, and he wants to leave.
It's not about, think about it. It's not about Lingard. It's about the club. The club is not going to fund another team that is contending with them at this very moment. They're not going to feed them. One of
Man is not contending with
exceptionally well with them last season. They're not going to give them that player again. Say, here you go, just so that he can have game time. No, but Lingard sit on the bench and wait for your turn.
Pushes for the move. What if Lingard?
Yeah, he can push for it.
What if he says yes? I want out. I'm not playing. I'm sitting on the bench. No Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
The FA Cup don't start until January. So what am I sitting down here
Lingard,
for? Champions?
Lingard will have to tender. He will have to write a letter of exit. Okay, I want to leave. You have to declare that he wants to leave. As long as Lingard does not do that, Manchester United is not letting him go, especially not to West Ham alone. Manchester United is not going to do that. I can guarantee you that. We've seen it in the past. We've seen them recall players from loan. We've seen them decide. I mean, why did we keep Henderson? Why did we finally let go of Romero?
Yeah.
Why?
So sad.
It's not like Henderson was going to. Let's be real. I mean, Henderson was good last season because the year was messing up. But it's not like Henderson was actually going to contend with the year. No, just we cannot keep making other teams look good. That's like, oh, you go alone there. And the moment we see that you are doing well, yeah, come back. If we're not selling you, then there's no need for you to be helping another team.
Can you just touch on the final discussion? I almost forgot that. 11, this has never happened in the history of the Premier League. At match day 11, 5 managers have been sacked already. Chimamaka.
It's actually been expected. But I did not see Dean Smith's own coming this early. He just had 5 losses or 5 straight. Yeah, he's not had a very good last 5-6 games. So they just did the Roman Abramovich to him, which to me as a Chelsea fan,
ever since they won Manchester United at Old Trafford, they've lost 5 consecutive games.
Yes, that's the thing. 5 consecutive, and that is what the management has come to understand. They did not wait 3 years for them to send him out. This is the first time he's going to lose 5 on the bounce. Now, if they can understand him losing 500 pounds, it only means they have an ambition. Now, where the problem would actually be is bringing in somebody who is lower or who is lesser or who is tactically lesser than Dinsey.
Well, I think that's what's going to be the option right now.
But if they are going to do that, then it's going to
bring,
be
a manager from time Division 100%
One. Loss. It's going to be a loss for them.
Or probably sign the Norwich City manager that has been sacked because he has been looking for the first win. He finally got the win against Brentford and he gets the sack. Yeah. Oh geez, life. Well, life is so crazy, man.
He had 10 matches to do that. Some teams will give you 3 years. I was thinking talking about 3 years. Some teams will give you 3 years. This guy had 10 games to do that and was sent out. Then Smith lost 500 pounds and was sent out. What's this guy's name? Nuno of Spurs.
Had Spurs,
a very terrible run, and he was sent out. It only means these teams actually have ambition. Yeah, the Spurs chairman might have an ambition to just to remain in the EPL. It's not like he has an ambition to make Tottenham be as big as we want them to be. I don't know if you get, but as it stands, those who have been let go, those managers who have been let go, actually deserve to have been let go quicker than it happened.
Yeah, it's been nice.
I'm just waiting for Ole to join them.
To be the sixth guy, right? It's been nice doing this with you guys, man. It's been nice doing this because we had a full house today, and I wish this continues and I wish we stay consistent with this. Yes, we are Footy With Podcast, and this is our EPO review episode that we do currently. Yeah, the international break is coming. There's another part of the episode which we have, which is a fan corner. Every team represents their team, Manchester United fan corner. I think they had their own episode recently. And we'll be looking at having the Chelsea fan corner and also the Arsenal fan corner. And we are on social media platform. We're on Instagram and we're on YouTube. We're on Twitter, outside Nigeria, not inside Nigeria. I reiterate that. And also we are on the podcast platform, Anchor, Google Podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcast. You can listen to our episodes on this platform and also on YouTube. We want to grow our YouTube channel, please. I see some people like our videos, but just to click that follow button, you know, just follow up. We need to build the subscriber base of our YouTube channel. Thank you, Bayo from UK. Thank you, Tunde from US of A, and Chimamaka from Nigeria. Both of us in Lagos with this, so we don't need to see anything. It's been nice doing this. Thank you. Peace out. Bye.
Right. Thank you.